CliffCentral.com.
It's Calvin Harris with Rihanna, and this is What You Came For. It's a busy Wednesday morning, and we've got a very busy man sitting in front of us. I'm so glad that you could make it here this morning. He is the mayor of Johannesburg, Mr. Herman Mashaba, who's taken office, and he's had a very busy first 5 months. But here he is. He's sitting in front of us now. And he looks like he's got a busy day ahead of him, too. So thank you for making time for us, Mayor. I know that things are crazy in this. This is the most important city in the country.
No, thank you very much, Gareth. And I remember having this interview with you just before the 3rd of August last year election. And it was such a great conversation. And I'm glad to be back today, no longer campaigning, today taking over one of the toughest jobs in this country.
Now, you know, one of the things that I thought about the other day was when you came in here, everybody was saying you didn't have a chance in hell.
It's interesting.
You remember that? And they said the same thing about Brexit. They said the same thing about Trump. And look what's happened.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. Sometimes when you listen to this analyst, it's very interesting. One thing that they forget that the reality on the ground is what ultimately determines. Yes, put into a very interesting coalition arrangement in the city of Johannesburg. But at the end of the day, that's what the voters wanted. The voters of Johannesburg, after being abused for 22 years, they took a decision not to allow one single party to take over the administration. And I was given the responsibility to lead this coalition arrangement. And I've embraced it. And I'm pledging my cooperation and commitment to ensure that we can make the city work.
We had Park Stau in here the other day. He says he's moved on to other things. He's very happy running kind of local government associations and that sort of thing. And we spoke about, at least, I think credit must be given in some small measure to the fact that of the various municipalities in this country, Joburg was not the worst run. And I think his administration deserves just a little bit of credit for at least trying in most areas to have done as good a job as they can or they could have at the time.
I think
you disagree?
I would find that statement very disturbing.
There's no charity on your part here.
Honestly, I think, Gareth, I don't know if you're aware, 2 weeks ago presented the Auditor General's findings, the integrated the report to council, and I shared it with people of our city for them to see what has been happening to the city the last 5 years.
So
it's a frightening situation and things that we as opposition at the time we used to raise, but obviously were denied. But fortunate enough, Jesus decided to land in Johannesburg unannounced, unexpected, and they gave me an opportunity to have the insight. And if you look at the insights of things that I am uncovering every day, I look at the city, I look at the public service, I look at the leadership, and I'm saying to myself, what kind of human beings would really do this to their own country, thinking that the government is it's animal that must be looted? It's unbelievable.
So you discovered, obviously, a lot of very disturbing corruption in there. I mean, what level of corruption are we talking about?
Huge. I'm sitting with cases on a literally daily basis. We're suspending people. We're charging people criminally. It's a very scary situation, resulting with me sometime last year with the establishment of a forensic unit within the city, because I just could not cope. I'm not a forensic investigator, but at the same time, no one would expect me to sit with all these cases. I'm sure you're aware. It's in the media today. ANC yesterday released the statement around the forensic investigation that I've instituted in City Power.
Yep.
Very scary numbers. And fortunate enough, I've given the responsibility to Susan Zaluba Godoba to run this investigation.
It's the firm of attorneys.
For auditors.
Auditors.
Yeah, they have a good forensic unit. So I've given them this responsibility to to unpack this for us, and we'll have the report on this in 6 weeks' time.
So,
what I find it interesting, Gareth, is that ANC Greater Johannesburg yesterday releases the statement that the reason why I've instituted this investigation is because I want this tenders for myself. We're in trouble. If the ANC running government for the last 22 years, their deep belief is that anyone who takes over public office is because they want to be next to tenders, then this country is in trouble. Honestly, deeply in trouble that they can make the statement officially in writing. Honestly, and truly believe we're in trouble as a country.
Well, they're telling us something about themselves, really. They're not saying anything about you. When they say that they think the reason you've instituted an investigation is because they're concerned you're going to take those tenders for yourself, that tells you everything about what they really want from government.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, no. You know, yesterday, as a city, Joburg Theatre launched a program yesterday with our 33,000 staff members, because I can't use law enforcement agencies to deal with a deep level of corruption in the city. So the city, Joburg Theatre, decided to do a play written by Zix Mda. And I watched it for the first time yesterday. I was overwhelmed. I was moved. The title of the show is "The Mother of All Eatings." Gareth,
I love Zeg Simda. He's an unbelievable writer, an unbelievable creative brain.
I wish, I'll pay for ANC people to go and watch that.
Is it about corruption? Is it about?
No, it is about what exactly that production. It's exactly what's happening in the city of Johannesburg. What used to happen in the city of Johannesburg, and so we're opening this up to our 33,000 employees to go and watch this for free. We're running this show in Joburg Theatre, the Soweto one, and in Roodepoort, opening it up to staff as part of the education, because I've declared corruption public enemy number one. So I need to find ways to change this culture and this value system for people to understand. Public service is about saving people. It's not about tenders. And while I'm busy with this, on the very same day that we launching this show, ANC releases the statement about tenders and public service being about tenders. It's a very scary situation.
Herman, what about the allegation? And I mean, you know, people often want a man of action, and I think that's probably why you got elected, is because I think a lot of people just want to see someone who's going to act here. There's a lot of talk in politics, and you're a businessman, and that's where you come from, and you like to see action. So when they say, for example, oh, you're doing this to the city of City Power, for example, if it's discovered that City Power's board needs to be dissolved, you would do it?
I will do it. I will not even blink an eye. Any board that would stand in my way of corruption, I will not blink. Yeah. I will dissolve it with immediate effect.
So how many people have you had to clear out of the system that are just rotten? Because when you took over the city, there are people at all levels, high up at municipal manager level, all the way down to, you know, the people who pick up the rubbish, the people who make sure that the traffic lights are fixed.
I'm sure you must have seen about two, 3 weeks ago, 106 of traffic official traffic department officials arrested. Some of them suspended, but they are all going to be arrested eventually. 106, you can imagine, just one department. And this is just the tip of an iceberg. And literally on a daily basis, I'm suspending people. If I could have a cooperation of law enforcement agencies, particularly the prosecuting authority, you will see something else.
Are the NPA not being helpful to you?
Well, I don't think we're getting the full cooperation that any working system would get. It's not a complete loss, but But definitely, if we can have their cooperation on cases where I've got forensic evidence by top investigating of the companies, KPMG, Deloitte, EY, Cobord, I'm using these agencies and what they do. They do a professional forensic report with evidence, to give it to the police, hawks. Very keen to investigate, and then where you get the blockage, it's with the National Prosecuting Authority. I don't know, maybe it's capacity, and I really trust it is capacity, and we will engage them as a city. We're not going to give up. But then the last few days, they gave instructions to the administration, let us in the meantime suspend these people, get them out of our system.
Right.
But you can imagine, I mean, the frustration as government not having the capacity to be able to deal with criminality in a country. And how can you ever run a city with such backlog? I mean, my role is not to deal with corruption. I'm not elected to deal with corruption. My role is to ensure that Gareth, I provide safety to you, public safety. It's about making sure that I give you electricity, I give you water, clean water every day, I clean your city. That's what municipality is all about. And put together a professional public service that can serve our people. But tell me, how am I going to work when you have this massive patronage system? People, every time I tell them the reality of what I've got to deal with on a daily basis. 2 months before I was elected into this office, 2 months before, council approved a budget that is running even right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been 6 months in office. I'm still running with that budget. But we're right in the middle of finalizing my adjustment budget to be presented to council on the 23rd of this month. So for the first 6 months, you have to, by law, operate with this budget approved by council and government, which was elected on the 3rd of August by residents. Residents right now, they expect service delivery from me.
Right.
They expect change because people voted for change. They didn't vote. But the law says that, no, you cannot change. And now with this adjustment budget that I'm busy with, even when I've got to change it, it cannot be big changes. You cannot have more than 10% variance. So basically what I've been working on the last 6 months was to ensure that even though I'm adopting this budget, but at least align it to my new strategic objectives. At least when I'm running these projects, that some of them, fortunate enough, some of them I've done away with regardless. Like I'm sure you saw last week, there was a program called Josie at Work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Parkstar spoke about this.
Yeah, Josie at Work, a system, official corruption system, where you have the so-called entrepreneurs or business people, whatever you like to call them, or labor brokers. But these labor brokers are ANC labor brokers to provide employment opportunities to our people in the communities. But then based on pure patronage, ANC membership card. So that one...
You've thrown it out.
I've thrown it out. We as a state, we will employ our people directly. I don't have to go through a middleman.
Yeah.
What is actually said about it is that ANC, for all these years, they've been claiming to be against labor brokers when they themselves using government
to
create labor brokers.
You know, it's so funny because Parkstar was in here just a couple of weeks ago telling me how he's very proud of the Josie at Work system. And he was saying what a great system it is because it encourages entrepreneurship. And then you come in and you say to me, well, it's just a patronage system for card carrying ANC members.
And well, it was a system that Jake's Das production actually speaks about this deep level corruption in the system. So I've done away with that. They started bakeries to make bread, run farms. So some of those programs I've done away with them, and I'm looking forward on the 23rd of this month to present my adjustment budget, and end of March I'll be presenting my new, for the first time now, I'll put together my own budget that I will run with for the next 5 years.
Tell me about how service delivery works, because there are a lot of people who've been complaining they've been double billed. There's some people who are saying they haven't had water in their area for a long time. There are people who are saying that their electricity is intermittent. I mean, some of these are practical problems. Some of them are issues around infrastructure. But how much of that can you fix?
Well, I think, Gareth, we sit with massive backlog. I mean, the electricity outages that you see in our communities, because one thing that this government failed to do the last 22 years was the maintenance and repairs of existing infrastructure. Literally ignored. That's why you see this old infrastructure. Just on electricity infrastructure backlog, sitting with now minimum of 68 billion rand.
That's the just backlog.
Just the backlog on fixing and upgrading existing infrastructure. And then let me just tell you, if you're not aware, for residents of the city to know, the budget for CAPEX as a city right now, the maximum I have, just under 10 billion. For everything.
And you said
that's water, everything.
And just
and now,
the electricity.
Just the system, sitting with just, yeah. So basically for the city right now, all the maximum I'm sitting overall, backlog, 170 billion rands of backlog.
God.
And now, there's some sign to say, in the reality, the balance sheet of the city is there for anybody to see. You will see next week when in 2 weeks' time when I present my adjustment budget. Please look at my balance, the city's balance sheet. The maximum I have is 10 billion.
But this shouldn't be so. I mean, residents have to pay their rates and taxes, otherwise there are consequences legally for them. Is it a question of income or is it a question of expenditure that's been handled badly in the last however many years?
I think it's a lack of, I don't know, whether political will. But then, yes, political will, because ANC Greater Johannesburg yesterday has confirmed their motive for being in government was about tenders, not about service delivery. This obviously tells you something about how they run government. So I think you look at, you raised the issue earlier on around billing. I mean, we've got a mess. The billing department is in a mess. And last night, actually, they had a meeting with the MMC of Finance and the ED of Finance and the city manager and others interrogating this new adjustment budget and looking at our balance sheet and looking at the opportunities. This city has got massive potential, but it needs committed public servants. My strong belief, and honestly, I'm not apologizing to anyone, the reason why we have such massive billing challenge, why we're not collecting what we're supposed to in terms of revenue, I think it looks like it was a deliberate system to make the system not to work, because in chaos, that's when people get an opportunity to steal. So. This city should really be able to collect at least another 5 billion or so.
But it's because, not going to make up the shortfall.
I mean, I'm sure you're aware, there's a lady that was charged 2 weeks ago, is on bail right now, where to conniving with property owners, big property owners, to reduce the value of their properties. Robbing the city of billions.
She's in jail?
Well, she's on bail right now.
Yeah.
I think a case is coming through, I think, sometime in March. And so it's going to unpack who she was working with. In this case, when I came into office hardly a month, it was brought to my attention by carte blanche. The report was given a year before, to the leadership of the city of Johannesburg.
Nothing
was done. Yeah, and I had to personally ensure that we arrest this woman with the evidence presented. And 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, I've suspended another senior person in the billing department, manipulation of your accounts and others for personal gains. So It was, I think, because in that chaos, that's when it gives criminals an opportunity to steal. So we are fixing this so that we can run an accountable system with fireproofs to ensure that the system cannot really be manipulated, mm-hmm. and make sure that there has to be consequences for wrongdoing. It can't just be a question that we suspend you. In fact, right now with the city manager, we're setting up an independent disciplinary team of outside people, because I cannot work with, so that we prosecute as a matter of agency. Make sure that, because I don't want to end up with acting directors for a long time. Yeah. If you commit crime, I've got to make sure that there's consequences as a matter of agency. Yeah, because I can't afford to be paying people staying at home for years.
You know, look at the police commissioner, Ria Pieta. No. We're still paying for her to sit at home.
That's not going to happen in the city of Johannesburg under my watch.
Now, tell me, because you've looked at balance sheets your whole life. Hmm. You understand how business works. When you look at a balance sheet like the city of Joburg's and you see how much we're in the red, did you want to give up when you walked into that office?
I think
if you bought a business and it was in that condition, you wouldn't touch it.
Oh, right? No, definitely. I think
you'd immediately liquidate and say, I'm out of here. Disaster.
Yeah, no. But unfortunately, this is about your future, the future of your children. And the more I get sucked into this almost impossible job, the more I realize that I've got to do this job. And I call upon other South Africans to assist me in this regard. I need help of committed South Africans. And fortunately enough, I know there are lots of them. I'm not an exception. To people who are not given an opportunity before, because obviously ANC government was running a patronage system. Right now, in our case, we're going to run a responsive government, accountable government, and we're calling on South Africans that wants to work as public servants. Please come and join our administration. Come and assist us with this job.
Aside from corruption, which is clearly number one on your agenda in terms of at least defeating that element of what's made it very difficult for the city to run properly. Aside from corruption, what have been the most positive engagements of the last 5 months, and what for you have been the most challenging things?
Well, I think just really pleased that overall the 33,000 employees, a big percentage of them are good human beings, good South Africans, good values. They were compromised by the fail of the leadership to deal with these matters. So I think for me it's really quite encouraging that that there's still a possibility. It is still possible that I can put together a team of public servants to work for the people of Johannesburg.
Because they were worried that you were going to fire lots of people when you came in. You know, people thought that you would go into the city of Joburg and you'd just start decimating.
Well, Gareth, it's unapologetically, those that don't want to work with me, they're out. And I keep reminding them every day. If you don't want to work for this administration, please leave. But those that want to stay, and fortunate enough, a big percentage of them are committed to work with this new administration elected by the electorate in a coalition arrangement. And that's what democracy is all about.
How's the coalition arrangement going? Are you still getting the support you need from the coalition partners here? Because the EFF were sort of ambivalent about you. And they expressed themselves as not entirely having the confidence that maybe the rest of the DA and everybody else in this country might have had. The EFF were very clear that they would do this, but it was more of an anti-ANC move than a pro Herman Mashaba move.
Yeah, well, I think they made their case very clear, and they stood by the word to support us to succeed. It is for that reason, 2 weeks ago in council, a very big resolution taken. I'm sure you heard, you must have seen it, EFF supporting us, and my move to reintegrate all municipal-owned entities, City Power, Joburg Water. I'm bringing them back into the city. EFF came to the party to support us. The mayor go for it.
So the coalition is strong.
So it, on important matters of national interest, I think what is actually quite encouraging, inspiring about the DA and EFF, It's about the love for this country. It's about to making sure that South Africa succeed. So I think that is actually an encouraging aspect. We might obviously have different views on how economic approach, how we're going to approach the economy. That's fine. I think that's what democracy is all about. But what is actually more important is our love for this country. It's our fight against corruption and ensure that we can put together public service that can deliver to our people. So that is, for me, there's been a very encouraging aspect of this coalition arrangement.
So we've covered corruption, the finances, things like city power and water and all the rest of it. But what are the unexpected challenges? What did you meet upon your first couple of days in office that you weren't expecting, that you hadn't been briefed for, that there was no way you could prepare for?
Well, I think for me, it's been a more level of corruption. Look, the balance sheet, I knew about it. I'm sure everyone can.
You can look that up.
During the campaign, I raised these issues. The issues that the Auditor General reported, which have covered in the integrated annual report, I knew about these things, but obviously the previous ANC government was denying it. Now I've got access to this issue. So, and they're still denying the facts. It's a huge challenge. But as I say, and I feel, Gareth, it's important that we soldier on as South Africans to ensure that it works. Big opportunities for us to turn the city around. Very highly possible. Housing, you see, let me tell you something about housing backlog that we're sitting with. City, just over 300,000. And the biggest casualties are our poor members of the community.
Yeah. Where are we looking to build? Where is the greatest need for these houses?
For me, the greatest opportunity is the inner city of Johannesburg.
I was going to ask you about the CBD now.
The CBD, and obviously the Johannesburg, other nodes would be Randburg, Roodepoort. I think we need to ensure that I work with the private sector. I had a very successful meeting ever since of the meetings. The last one on Monday, we have what we call Inner City Partnership Forum with the private sector that's prepared to pour billions of rents into the inner city, build accommodation for our people.
Because there are still buildings that are not being used. There are buildings that are derelict. That
hijacked, not... chaos in the city of Johannesburg. Yeah. So I have a huge responsibility to clear that city of criminality. It's a huge issue that is my number one priorities, to clear that city, allow the private sector to build houses for our people, employ them in the process, because it's not just a question of building people houses, because when people are not working, how are they going to maintain these houses? So you need to ensure that, yes, we help indigent families as a short-term measure. But ultimately what I want to do is I want to allow our people to climb up the ladder. I don't want our people to be perpetual dependents of the state.
Welfare slaves.
No, we cannot. We cannot turn our people into slaves dependent on corrupt political leadership. I want an opportunity where, as we're helping you today, I want to see you 5-10 years down the line having an opportunity to succeed. And you do that by creating a vibrant economy. And the city of Johannesburg has got that potential where we can honestly pour billions of rents into that city, turn it into a construction site. The only thing that now it becomes my responsibility to clear that city of criminality, which is compounded by at the moment, the people coming into the inner city, because the country's overall economy is not performing. So you can imagine the number of people coming from the rural areas every day into the inner city. Our South Africans who are looking for opportunities, they under impression Johannesburg is a golden city, is a city of golden opportunities. But now what to compound our problem? It's obviously we've got illegal the people or foreigners coming into the city from all over the world.
People criticized you the other day for saying that you're going to throw out a whole lot of illegal immigrants.
I think that responsibility is not mine. That responsibility lies with the Home Affairs. The city of Johannesburg does not control immigration in the city. What I'm appealing to national government to do as a favor a favor that is not negotiable in my terms, because I need the rule of law for me to be able to turn the city around.
Mm-hmm.
When we have foreigners coming into the city, coming from all corners of the world, I'm asking the Minister of Home Affairs, please ensure that you tell these people to come through our borders. I think it's important. Please stop this porous borders, firstly. Secondly, I'm saying to the Minister, please, when these people are in this country, please ask them to respect our laws. Because if that is not the case, unfortunately, Johannesburg cannot have criminality in under our watch. So what we are saying is, please, the Minister, when people are in this city and they don't respect our laws, we're going, without any doubt, we're going to get them out of our city. We'll give them to Home Affairs, and Home Affairs must see to it, because it can't just be my, it can't be my problem. We believe, and I strongly believe, I call on the international community, people from all over the world, please come to Joburg. We want you, because we want your money. Come and spend your dollars, your pounds, your yens. Please come into this country, but please come legally. And when you hear to respect our country, if anyone has got a problem with that statement, then no one can expect me to apologize, because South Africa cannot be turned into a country of lawlessness. So I cannot understand how anyone would really be against me asking people to respect the laws of this country.
Now, well, I suppose people are also looking for a reason to get upset, but you have certain mechanisms at your disposal. The Metro Police report to you, right?
Yes.
And the you've got the do you, are the red ants under you?
No.
Who do they fall under?
It's a separate.
Who are they responsible to?
It's a private company.
Right. So when it comes to clearing out buildings and things,
well, those are private service providers.
Okay.
No.
Mayor, what about the issue? We had Leon Lowen here yesterday from the Free Market Foundation, and I know you two have worked together before. What about the issue of people having their title deeds?
Well, it's
what about people in the townships being able to own the property that they live on?
Well, fortunate enough, this question of title deeds, as you're aware, I was the chairman of Free Market Foundation for 3 years, over many years working with Leon Law. And I've always, I mean, for me, Leon Law is really one of an exceptional human being. South Africa, it's blessed to have such a human being in our midst. Gave almost 50 years of his life towards this cause, particularly for poor people. Fought for them during apartheid years, fought for them even now. For him, Leon Law is about the rule of law and giving opportunities to poor people, regardless of who is in government. And I had an opportunity and privilege to work with him arranging to give our people title deeds. Started in the Free State and helped Cape Town. So for me, when I took over, I made a commitment to our people that fast-tracking of title deeds to our people will receive priority. And it has. I'm sure you have seen.
Have you begun the process?
Yeah, no. Hardly 2 weeks into office, discovered 2,000 title deeds that were ready to be given to our people. Why the previous administration did not, only themselves can explain. You started dishing them out. So right now we're processing, we've already almost over 2,000 title deeds given to our people, because for me, title deeds, it's not just about just having a piece of paper. It's about ownership of land. It's about ownership of a house. When our people in the townships, Soweto and other areas during the apartheid days, our people are not allowed to be property owners. So we want to give our people this dignity. You look at men and women, old people, as I give them this title deeds, how they feel. That for the first time in their lives, they've got an asset that they can leave behind for their children. They have a house that in no government can come and take it away from them. And the reason why I believe the previous administration did not want to fast-track service delivery in terms of title deeds is because of wanting our people to be dependent. Because for them, they're looking at elections every time, threatening our people to cooperate with them, to buy, to vote for them. They promise, they tell, they can vet them out of their houses. They the social ground the grant system, and the food parcels, T-shirts. I think you take away the dignity of our people. For me, I want to live in a world where human beings must be given an opportunity to fly. on their own. Government's role, we create that environment for people to fly. And that's what I want to do. I want to live, use the balance of my life playing that active role and ensuring that I create opportunities for our people in Alexander, in Zandspruit. I want them and their children one day to be the best that God has given them the talent to be able to fly.
Herman, do you like or dislike the comparisons people make between you and the new president of the United States? Does it upset you, or does it, or do you just laugh it off? I mean, people say you both were business people. You both are first time politicians now. That there's a different kind of an attitude that you bring to the job. Some people are very critical and use the bad things about each other to prop up their theory, and other people say, well, it could be a good thing. How do you feel about that comparison?
Well, I don't really see the relevance of anybody comparing to me with Donald Trump. The little I know about him is that people of America spoke and they decided who they want to be the president of the United States. It's not up to me. People of America, one of the biggest democracies in the world, very successful nation, educated nation. Their voters cannot be bought by T-shirts and food parcels. So you can trust the outcome of the American election. In fact, here at home, IEC declared our elections free and fair, and no one questioned them. So I think if we can learn as Democrats to respect the outcome of what the voters wanted. And for me to be compared to Donald, I've never met him, never spoken to him, the little I read about him. And I will do what I believe is right for this country and the mandate that people have given me to run this city.
So in other words, you're not thinking about those comparisons. Other people may be consumed by them, but you don't care.
I don't think how relevant. In fact, I'll make a terrible mistake. And fortunate enough, Gareth, just to tell a little bit about myself, I'm sure you must have read my book, or some people must mm-hmm. have, for people to understand who I am. I was born on 26th of August, 1959, and I was born alone. And when I opened my eyes to this world, my grandfather taught me one thing, because I lost my father when I was two. My grandfather always impressed on me to be an individual, not to rely on other people. And he taught me to take ultimate responsibility for my actions. So I'm not the kind of person influenced by role modeling or by... No, those things have never been part and parcel of me. And one thing that that is very strong value system is that I've never been scared of another human being, but especially a criminal. But I've always been scared, in fact, not scared, respected to God. I've always... He's the only person I fear or respect.
Right.
That's the only thing. And what that means is your value system. There are certain things that for me are not negotiable. Wrong is wrong. Wrong can... I don't want to play a game that wrong can be made to be right. It can't be. Wrong is wrong. And I don't care who tries to convince me otherwise. So I'm not the kind of person to sit on the fence. That's really my value system. When you work with me, you can ask people who've worked with me. I've been in business over 35 years. I've been married to my beautiful wife. Actually, in a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating 35 years of our marriage.
Wow! Congrats.
She's the only person I think. Oh my! Even my sisters, who obviously really know my sister, my value system. I'm an individual. And I like to be surrounded by equally independent human beings who don't really fear criminality. People who actually understand in life we have to have value system. There are certain things that are not negotiable.
Well, I wish you luck. It's been 5 and a bit months, and there's much work ahead. But don't let this tire you out. I don't want to see you getting gray and old in the job. Let's see if we can find ways for it to work for you and for us. Thank you, Herman Mashaba. It's a very great pleasure to have you in here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. The mayor of Johannesburg, everybody. We will return in a moment or two. Some interesting people coming up a bit later. You mentioned the NPA earlier. Well, we've got Harry Nell, who's just left the NPA, who's coming in to talk to us just after 8 o'clock this morning. So I don't know if he's still got contacts there. They seem to have turned on him as well.
Harry, for me, it's really one of those great Africans. I was really quite pleased to learn about what he wants to do. I think it's the best thing that can ever happen to this country.
Well, let's talk to him. He's coming up next. We'll also speak to Rowan about this idea that he's just begun, Sunshine Cinema. We'll talk about that next. Lots of busy stuff today. Thank you, Herman Mashaba. Pleasure.
Thank you.
CliffCentral.com.
Right, are you with me? Lost Frequencies, CliffCentral.com on a pretty damn decent Wednesday morning. I'm not complaining. Some very interesting things going on in the world, and we've just spoken to the mayor of Johannesburg, who's doing his thing to try and get the city up and running in the best possible way. Ben has a friend he brought in, and it's not just because you're Ben's friend that you're here, because you've got a great idea. Rowan's here, and he's here to tell, hey man, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Good. Let's just talk quickly about Sunshine Cinema, and I'm sorry I have to squeeze you between Harry Nell and Herman Mashaba.
Wow, what a privilege.
But it is a pleasure to see you. So you've come up with this, it's like a one-stop shop. It's like the most sensible way to get people out in rural areas, people all over Africa, people who don't necessarily have access to cinemas, to be able to see documentaries, movies, TV shows, whatever it might be, in a box. Is that right?
Well, it's really just the most simple concept. We want to share media where media is needed. And there are a lot of obstacles for people to be able to gain access to media. And we've just come up with a way that, given our experience in filmmaking, works where we make the films. If you're going to a place like DRC, Kinshasa, making a film about LGBT rights, isn't it more important to make sure the film is seen where it's being made?
Well, this is the funny thing, right? And just let me introduce you properly. Rowan Pibbis is here. He's with Sunshine Cinema. You can find out more by going to your website at sunshinecinema.org, right?
That's it.
Okay, so you're absolutely right. The thing that's frustrated, I think, a lot of great filmmakers and storytellers and people who have interesting things to contribute to culture and to diversity and to opening up the world and making people aware of stuff that they might not be aware of is that they may produce this great material, but it never gets seen by the people who need to see it the most. Gets seen
so
by
true.
Rich people in cities who can afford the 200 rand movie ticket.
Yeah, there are a lot of layers to this process that have come from experience on the ground. And what we've done is we've packaged it in a mobile solar powered cinema. What that looks like in its biggest iteration is a 6 kilowatt solar power generator that we travel around with and erect and build. We've put that in all sorts of interesting places and partnered with all sorts of amazing brands and foundations. That allows for us to become a soapbox for a dynamic apex person. What's an apex person? All over where we've made films, there have been people, and we've told their story, that are doing incredible things, but their message is very isolated. So our job is to promote their incredible story in media, but it's also our job to share that that media with their immediate community. So it's a mobile solar powered cinema. And then
how did you get into this? Why did you decide to do this? Did you just see a gap and decide I'm going to fill it? Because that's what a lot of great ideas.
You know, I'm being squeezed between two important people. That's a very 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 long answer.
No,
the short answer is that There is a real issue with the way media is being made in the online space, and I rejected a big part of it a while ago by not going and just taking the work that the brands were offering me to pay to make a video. I looked for brands that were making a really conscious decision to have public benefit with their marketing campaigns and with their community outreach. So this line between CSI and actual marketing that is publicly beneficial, the lines were very separate at first. It was like you had to go to the CSI, and you still do. You still have to go to the CSI manager. But really what we've proven through brands like Red Bull and their Amapico Social Entrepreneur Academy is that the lines are blurring. It's beneficial to big blue chip brands to market themselves ethically. And that's where we turned the corner and said, we're going to make films that are ethically minded, that have the people at inside the film's best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to come up with a grassroots distribution campaign that works. What that looks like, let me put you in the room. If it all comes together on a perfect day where my partner and wife, Sadel Willis-Smith's research comes together, we find an apex person, we hand over a solar-powered cinema to them in their neighborhood and let the media that we've made about them or other amazing media like Jarell Matabula from Tembisa, who runs Indigenous Dance Academy, and his whole network is about uplifting young dancers and giving them an education and a great start in life. If we make a film about them and bring it back to their neighborhood, Eskom powers out, we've got solar power, they're in their room handling their own screening. The best part, the magic... You know the magic of cinema, that goose flesh moment where your mind goes, I get it, I need to do something more with my life.
This is so interesting. Ben showed me a documentary the other day about these supercars, hypercars, right? And there was a guy called, Koenigsegg?
Koenigsegg.
Charles von Koenigsegg. This guy watched a movie when he was a kid about this dude who'd built a bicycle.
A basic stop motion kind of...
It was the most basic, terrible movie you've ever seen in your life.
An old Norwegian classic.
Right. Because he saw that, he made the decision he wanted to build a Koenigsegg car one day.
Right.
And to me, if your movie, if your documentary, if your short film or your TV show, whatever it might be, can inspire one kid to become that next person.
You got it.
You've won.
You got it. That's it. And we've seen it time and time again. So another example, I mean, with Jarell and Neo from IDA, we're family. We're so in love with what they do that the whole marketing aspect just becomes what it meant to be. It's meant to be genuine. Mm. It's meant to spread the message. So we've seen it with Andrew Feinstein and his film Shadow World.
Yes.
Make all sorts of assumptions about where will that film find an audience in South Africa. You'd be wrong. People are ready to hear these stories. They're ready to publicly discuss it. And the magic of Sunshine Cinema is, yes, it's the media. Yes, there's the overt gimmick of solar. It's not a gimmick. But everybody needs to be on solar. That's just a given. What I'm talking about is that at some point, somebody puts up their hands and asks a question because they have a burning desire. Choice occurs. Hope is born and people find direction.
Rowan, you're very focused on the side where you're doing good here, which I like. Which means that there is an element of altruism going on here, which I love.
Yes.
But it's also great business.
Yes, it's profitable.
Let's not mess around.
And the only reason that is because we have great support from brands who are realizing what I said earlier about this association.
One of the big cinema businesses should buy you guys before you become so big and expensive they can't afford you. This is terrific because distribution is a problem.
Yes.
And for poor people, it's inaccessible.
Yes.
The biggest win you've got here is that you've got a means. And what's in the box? There's a solar panel and battery.
Right. So let me just introduce. There's the cinema, which we drive around in a big car with a big generator.
Yeah.
But then we thought about the fact that the individual out there needs something as well. So that person that we identify with, we call them a Sunbox ambassador, and we hand them with outside funding. One of them was the Awesome Foundation in the US. And what they did is they gave us a grant and we
handed, called the Awesome Foundation.
They called the Awesome Foundation. They gave us a grant and allowed us to purchase a sunbox, sell our sunbox, the idea to them, which then got into the hands of Buchle Sotela, a young upstart entrepreneur from Khayelitsha who runs a bin cleaning business at 20 years old.
Wow.
He's an apex person. He's incredible. And yet, he wants to share the magic of cinema more than anything in the world. Handing him a sunbox and watching what he did with it for the first month, unbelievable.
So what is the sunbox?
It's the same thing. Imagine a big solar-powered event, but in a box. It has a solar generator capable of powering your phone and all sorts of other devices. It has an AC adapter, so you can pretty much plug your laptop in if you had one. It has the content.
Mm-hmm.
Curated by us from our partners like the Africa Cinema Unit at UCT, Red Bull Media House have given us access to the 6-part TV series I made called +27 Social Innovators of South Africa. Check that out. Amazing 6-part 26-minute series. It's all loaded on the box with a Bluetooth speaker and a battery-powered microprojector, and you can go and do a screening in a matter of minutes.
How many people could watch this?
You know, the power of these microprojectors is unbelievable today. So if you put that in a dark room, a pitch dark room like a school hall at night, I can tell you, you can do 100 people easy on a tiny little box, which is all you need. You need a classroom. We've got a problem where art education in South Africa has fallen away due to budget constraints. So what we believe is if we can put the content on there that supplements that education system, lets you know, we did these amazing tours. We've been to hundreds of schools around South Africa. There's always one teacher that's getting it right in, despite a hard circumstance. Mm-hmm. You hand that teacher a sunbox, watch what happens.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, so the cinemas, that's where you drive around with the big setup.
Yeah.
These sunboxes, those you can hand out to your ambassadors and they can use them in various communities to right. show the stuff. How many of them have you put out there?
Our goal this year is to have 100 sunboxes commissioned and distributed with the proper follow-ups and the proper monitoring to understand how many screenings they're doing and who they're screening to. We're not prescriptive in terms of what you show. We do encourage the fact that you don't charge for
this. This is terrific.
But if you can get 100 out there, we're looking for – here's our shortfall. Right now, we've got really great brand interest from all sorts of partners. We've got UNAIDS as a client. We've got the Open Society Public Health Program from America. They're great. We've got a lot of interest. What we want now is we need someone to get the idea of financial literacy. We need our campaign with the Sunbox is going to focus around saving. So we're going to load that Sunbox with content curated to help people understand how to save so that we've got money for our retirements. And what we want to do is we want to find a bank that's interested in ordering 100 Sunboxes preloaded with all the right information to help you in your retirement. And we want to get those out there as well as all the fun stuff that's already on the content.
You know? Sure.
That's what our goal is.
This is great. What kind of uptake have you got from people in, you know, places across this continent who don't have cinemas?
It's incredible.
They love it.
This is what's next. We are going from Cape Town to Nairobi. Wow. We've got a commission in Kenya with the Global Goals and Africa Creates. And what they would like to do is showcase the Global Goals in 8 screenings around Nairobi. So we're going to drive up in the – we call it the Sun Bus.
Yeah.
And we're going to make films for the International AIDS Society as we go around youth champions who are living in, with HIV. They've written these powerful letters. Then we get to Kenya. We do an 8 event screening around Kenya. And then from there, we drive slowly back and do follow-ups with our youth champions. And we're looking for people who want us to screen. So if you want us to do a screening at your community project in Tanzania or Malawi or Zimbabwe or Zambia, we're happy to do it. Get in touch with us on our website.
Well, there we go. In short, because this is really just there's probably many more layers to the whole discussion. But Sunshine Cinema, if you want to find out more, go to sunshinecinema.org. Rowan Pibus, thank you so much for coming to see us.
I would be remiss if I didn't correct you. My father called me Rowan Pibus.
Pibus, I apologize.
Thanks, Jesus. Gareth. Thanks Sorry. For having me, brother.
Pibus, Pibus. P-Y-B-U-S is what you need to know.
The Sunbus, Pibus, it's all happening.
Pibus. All right. Let's go with that. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks.
And well
thanks
done
to
on
Ben.
This.
Thank
well
you.
Well done. This is terrific. I'm expecting you to get a call somewhere in the next couple of years. Hopefully not too long from now, where someone will say to you, listen, we want to offer you like hundreds of millions of rands for this.
We'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah, it would be nice, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Gareth.
And you can do so much more with that. And keep up the good work on the creative side, too.
Thank you.
With the stuff you've already made.
Well, we've got these wonderful, wonderful films, and we would really love people to understand that their message is not marketing. It's social, and it's good to know, and it's important information relating to a wide variety of cool topics. As you know, you've made an industry about discussions, and we love to discuss films, and we love to discuss issues as well, but in community.
All right. Thanks, man.
Cheers, guys.
Cool. Harry Nell coming up next.
Thanks.
I won't just survive. CliffCentral.com.